Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. Have to be willing to question the impossible, or you're planning for the inevitable. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. Just prefacing this podcast, I go off on a Cognitive Rampage about the healthcare system and about doctors in the medical field. Not so much the mental health field this time, but the medical field. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a fan of amazing medical science. We do amazing miracles every day with science, with medicine, with surgeries, and all kinds of things. There are certainly some wonderful gems, GEMS, of doctors out there saving lives, caring about people, and so forth. So I wanted to preface this podcast that I do understand that, and huge, huge love goes out to those practitioners that have dedicated their lives, their time, money, stress, even their health to be able to take care of other people, those that strive to listen to their patients, to pay attention, and to dive deep into trying to figure out what is wrong with their patient and listening to them. So a lot of love to those practitioners as well. Before I go off on the Cognitive Rampage about those, well, that don't. That's what this is about. I talk about the decline of the U.S. healthcare system, issues with diagnosing, misdiagnosing, and so many doctors simply deciding what's wrong with their patients before actually listening. I hope you enjoy this Cognitive Rampage 237, Doctors Not Giving a Shit.
Check, check. And welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. Got a new little setup going. Hope you enjoy the scenery from the wall of wisdom behind me. There's more wisdom over on that wall too. I would, if anyone can name all five of these gentlemen behind me, I will send you a copy of my free book. If you can name all five, if you can comment on this, I got this pulled up here so I can, follow along, maybe see some comments as I talk a little bit today. Got a couple things to cover. Some fun things. Had an inspiring but aggravating conversation last night with someone I met. I'm going to leave her name out of it now. I'm actually seeing if she wanted to come on the podcast to talk about what her experience was. And just share this out. Hope you're enjoying your Sunday, though. Relaxing at the house, me and the coffee, hanging out. So what I was going to talk about a little bit today, I got a couple things to cover. The first is, doctors don't give a shit. And that's a generalized statement. I do understand that. I totally get that. I don't know whether I see a trend or hear about the trend, etc. Let's see if I can open this up here. Sorry, it's just myself. My producer, Patricia, is over in Colorado with her family right now. So slacking a little bit over here. So trying the new setup to where, I can't quite see the computer or anything in the background. So I got this pulled up. I was hoping to be able to see or read some comments that pop up along the way before I get into it. It's struggling a little bit to want to pull up on my end. So forgive me for the slow start today. It won't be that slow once I got the full producer back in the studio helping me out. But probably could be because my battery's dying too. I don't know, people. But the joys of starting the first show back when you haven't done one for a minute, I got pretty good at doing this stuff live where you're kind of talking and just holding the airtime while you figure everything out here. But, yeah, the conversation I ended up having last night, I almost said her name there. She has been through some serious stuff in her life. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this up to get the comments up so I could see, if anybody had any comments, actually. So I'm going to try this one more time before I get going. But you know me, once I get going on the cognitive rampage, off on my rampage, it's going to be hard anyway to stop me. But this doesn't seem to be one to work for me. So I apologize if you're going to comment on this and I can't see it live, but I am still working. Never give up, right? As it says in this post, Andy Morrison is a guy that I see a lot. He's a inspiring gentleman who has been through a lot himself in his life. And if you go to the Cognitive Rampage Instagram, you'll see it there. I shared his logo of Never Give Up. And let's see. There we go. There we go. Welcome, Margo, Danny Lopez, for watching. Now it looks like I can follow along here and we'll be able to do so. So there was one of my one of the clients I work with is NASCAR New Smyrna Beach, and I helped them out. I do their social media and business and things like that with them. I was up in the suite hanging last night, and the owner of the track invited a young lady up to the suite who had a bucket list that she wanted to check off, and seeing some of those races was on her bucket list. And it was her and her mother that were up there, and she has terminal bone cancer and essentially no treatment, no nothing. Just one day, it may be her day, as she said to me last night. And she started to talk to me about the struggles that she went through in trying to get diagnosed. Now, keep in mind, the number one reason for lawsuits in mental or medical practice is misdiagnosis, right? Now, I also want to preface this by saying, look, doctors got it rough, right? I mean, everyone can talk crap about a doctor till you need one, right? So I'm prefacing that. There are good doctors out there that do care, that stay in the practice, even though there's so much against them. Tons of lawsuits, people suing, payments getting low. You're working 80,000 hours a week. It's a stressful environment. I understand this from the health side as well. Nurses included. It is a rough, rough industry to be in. So I want to preface that too. Okay. So being in diagnosing, look, it's a hit or miss, right? It's a scientific method, if you will. Try this, test this, create a hypothesis and test it and see what you can find, right? That's how this works. But 20% of people, and I think this number is off, are misdiagnosed. And now, look, you'd like to say 80% is good, but when you look at the total of people that are going to see health practitioners and being misdiagnosed or, well, not diagnosed, that's millions of people in that small 20% that someone may say, right? So, and look, there's an array of diagnoses and disorders and things that, you know, they have to choose from, that they have to differentially diagnose, right? So they try to, the way they typically diagnose is ruling out what it isn't first to try to find what it is. There's a lovely article that I'll probably share the link to on here about a lot of the misdiagnoses come from how the doctor is thinking, right? How they are thinking. And so this young lady, she's 40, I believe 41 now. Back when she was 33, she was going through some issues. She had all kinds of issues going on, from vertigo, dizziness, fatigue, all kinds of issues going on. And she saw multiple practitioners. And eventually, after the third or fourth doctor visit, one doctor actually wrote her and basically fired her, said that they were no longer going to be able to treat her, and accused her of being, anxiety ridden and, always thinking something's wrong with her, right? So hypochondriac, if you will. And they wrote her off. Even she saved the letter, actually. And if I can get her to come on the podcast, I'd like for her to bring that letter so we can talk about which doctor did that. But eventually, at 33, they did find a cancer within her. This was not the bone marrow cancer yet, by the way. And anyway, they did surgery. They removed it all, and she got through it, right? A miracle, right? That we can do that today. That's why, again, I preface this podcast by there are doctors out there, miracles that get performed. Don't get me wrong. But the gauntlet to which she had to go through just before they could actually find that diagnosis was the beginning of hell. And a lot of things that she's trying to describe. Now, mind you, doctors are trying to diagnose on patient report, right? What do you feel? What are you going through? These are symptoms. It is by far not an exact science, right? It's more of a what it isn't game for a while, and I hope you do it in time. So the stress she went through for that only was to be compounded 5 years, 6 years later when she was then diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. Now, this is where she went through the gauntlet once again. She went to three different cancer specialist organizations and hospitals. Three different ones now to find this diagnosis. And no one could tell her what it was. She explained to me that one of the doctors that was doing the diagnosis, she said, look, nothing's wrong with you. We've done this test and that test. Nothing's wrong with you. You just need to begin to deal with it. Once again, accused of having anxiety in some sense and was offered mental health type medications. Anyway, she goes, you know what? This is the third doctor that she saw after other cancer specialist places. She went all over the state of Florida trying to find the best, right? Because she just knew something was wrong with her. She knew it. And, well, this doctor goes, look, I'm going to order this test for you, okay, only because you're so insistent about this. And, look, I'm telling you nothing's wrong with you, et cetera. Well, they do this test. I wish I had all the jargon. I do not. If she comes on the podcast, she can walk you more through it in more detail. And the test results came back and, well, positive for this bone marrow cancer, tragically. The doctor then took vacation and asked or had the nurse practitioner or physician assistant then report these results to her. The doctor took vacation just so the doctor wouldn't have to face her in this diagnosis. Now, and you know what? I'm confusing my story because that is actually what happened with her first cancer. I apologize. This is why I want her to have her on the podcast. She's such a brave soul. Her attitude, the way I was talking to her was just, it was inspiring to talk to her about how she saw life and her luck and draw in life and her outlook continually. So that was the first time, the first diagnosis, right? Of, I forget the cancer, it was an internal cancer. I think somewhere in the bladder or intestine, something like that. And it came back and then, oh my God, she had to go see a surgeon and got over that, right? The bone marrow cancer, again, came later. Saw three different doctors, went all through this, all these cancer places, all that was still legit, went through all that. Nothing, they kept telling her. Nothing is wrong with you. You're fine. We can't find anything. Then she saw an endocrinologist. And this endocrinologist, she said, out of the 20-plus doctors she had seen, was the first one that looked at her and said, all right, I believe you. So we're going to get to the bottom of this and find out what's wrong with you. Now, I myself have been through the gamut over the last year or two with a couple things I've been dealing with. And, well, I found it appalling how quick and often or how quickly they dismiss you, how they come in, they spend a couple minutes, they almost laugh you off, keep charging you each time you come back to do something, and, well, pretty much barely listen to you. I swear to God, half of them aren't listening to you to begin with because, well, they know better than you, right? And they just pawn you off. It's this, it's just this, there's nothing wrong, et cetera. And so I was kind of feeling her pain as she was telling this story, but not to the detriment to which she faces. And then this endocrinologist was the first one out of 20 doctors, even at these specialty locations, that said, we are going to dig in and find out what's wrong. After a couple of visits, he said, I think this is what's wrong with you. It's like a J something test that he ordered, and it came back, unfortunately, positive with the bone marrow cancer, and it had spread. Then has to move to another cancer specialist location. They offer her, well, you got to start this drug. You got to start this drug. You got to get on chemo, et cetera, et cetera. And she asked the question, will it slow the cancer down? Will it make it go into remission? Will it save my life? And they said, no. So she said, why would I do that? Well, it's what everyone does is what they told her. It's what they do. And my first response is, oh, well, here's someone's bank account we could drain. Now, next to her was her mother, and her mother was quite the soldier as well, in her young 70s, and her mother had battled a cancer as well not long ago and went through the ringer of that as probably 10 years prior, and is still kind of battling it, but she was nodding her head behind her the whole time going, yep, just like that. They just kept telling her, nothing's wrong, nothing's wrong. This is probably, this will pass, do this, do this. She tried all the different natural remedies she could try, but sadly came to that diagnosis. And they kept pushing drugs on her, and that's the word she used. She goes, they kept pushing. They were pushing medications on me that they said wouldn't work, that they said wouldn't reduce the cancer and lengthen my time in life. There's just maybe, but more than likely, no. And this is someone that doesn't have a lot of money to be spending like that. And after, look, I it would be hard not to try everything under the sun, right? And try to get to it and push that. It would be a difficult task to deny, and to which she had chosen. And it just made me think, you know, is what doctors and physicians have to go through an excuse to not give a shit? Is it? I mean, when you sign up to be a physician, which, by the way, less and less people are signing up to do these days, mind you, they're getting it from all angles. They're getting it from insurance. Like, I prefaced this already. It's a tough job. You go to school. You spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. You lose most of your time. You're rarely home with your family. You're putting in work like crazy. The hours push you to the max of your own health. And same with nurses and all. I mean, it's a rough, rough industry to be in on that side. So. But is that enough to be able to say, hey, I chose and took the Hippocratic Oath, which I jokingly refer to as the Hippocratic Oath, or the Hypocrite Oath, to just say, I'm tired. I hear this all the time, or I know what I'm doing, or frankly, to not give a shit. And I think we can tell when doctors don't give a shit. And I think it's unfortunate that we have to keep going to different doctors to try to find the one that actually gives a shit. And I was doing a lot of research here, looking at health grades and doctors around here, trying to read reviews and stuff of some, just trying to get a synopsis of what's going on. What I noticed was a lot of the older doctors that have been around for a very long time had most of the positive reviews where people were saying he or she gave a shit. They dove in and listened to what I said and never gave up on me and never diagnosed them with anything until they knew what it wasn't, or till they knew what it was. They didn't just give up or say, hey, it's probably this, and send you on your way, get you a gamut of tests done, etc. And I found that to be most of these doctors, they show their ages and things like that, were over 70 that had hundreds of reviews of saying this person really cared and dove in. While a lot of young doctors, well, some positive reviews, but not a lot. Now, again, I'm generalizing here, so don't attack me, all right? We all have our doctor that we love, I guess, or we don't, I don't know. But for me, I see this as a growing problem. I see this as a growing problem. Again, doctors are getting it from both sides. But does that give you the right to not listen, to not give a shit? You know what you signed up for. It's kind of how I talk to teachers. Yeah, teachers, you got it rough. You may not get paid a lot, but you got summers off and you know what you signed up for, right? So, I mean, it's kind of the same idea with the doctor. Is, you know, people are going to come to you worried, scared, unsure. And to help with bedside manner, to give a shit, to not treat every patient like just another number, another complaining person, I think is missing. And times this over the next 10 years, the next 20 years, as doctors get beat up on one side by insurance companies and lawsuits and medical malpractice and frivolous lawsuits as well. That's in there too. I mean, it's a shame. One, our healthcare system is a fucking joke. It is a joke how much insurance costs, what you have to do. You got to go see your general practitioner, pay them some money for them to refer you out to a specialist. I can't just call the specialist and see them. I got to find a GP that sends me to a specialist. Then I go to that specialist. And you know, like Maslow says, if you're a hammer, everything's a nail. You see this practitioner, well, then they have their gamut of tests to run you through that cost you $10,000. And it may not be anything. And then if you want to see a cardiologist, you want to see a neurologist, you got back to the general practitioner, pay them just so they can write your referral to go see another doctor. Then you see another doctor. Then this doctor tells you, it's nothing. Well, if you think it's something, you know, here's a whole bunch of tests that'll cost you an arm and a leg to be able to pay for. And yep, your insurance is only going to cover so much of it. You know, this is a growing epidemic in this country, and it is a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy that in the greatest country in this world of freedom, of economic freedom and research and science that we have here, that people go misdiagnosed or undiagnosed and they die daily. And people reach out for help or they can't afford help. So they stay home. They don't diagnose anything or they try everything they can. And with the miracle of medicine that we have today, that people just can't get it. They can't reach it. I mean, look, the insured group of people is, well, rather small. And the fact that we have to give health insurance through the job, employer health insurance, this is ridiculous to have to put that on the employer to offer that and comes out of your check in some fashion. I'm a fan of fee for service, which I wish we would get back to. I pay you a fee, you do a service. And a lot of people paying cash these days get services for just about the same amount of money until you get to the big surgeries or MRIs and things like this that cost tons and tons of money. You know, so, I mean, you're looking at the family of three to four. I think the average cost of health insurance is about $1,700 a month. About 17, I believe, is the average, maybe 14. I can't remember, but I'm in the ballpark. And this is with a $5,000 to $10,000 deductible. You got to pay $5,000 or $10,000 out of pocket first before the insurance even kicks in. Now you tell me what middle class family or even upper class family has this kind of money laying around, much less to pay for health insurance that's the same cost or more than your rent or mortgage. This is absolutely dreadful. And I am ashamed of our country for how we provide health care for people in this country. The fact that we do reactive medicine, that's a whole nother fucking ballpark. When we have all of the tools and testing and things to be doing to do preventative medicine, instead something goes wrong, you go to the doctor, they tell you what's wrong and treat that. When we could see a practitioner that's testing our levels, checking our blood, keeping ourselves up to date, it'll cost you $400 on average just to get your blood work done after you go pay $100 or so to your general practitioner, write you the script to go get your blood work done. Now, you can buy all kinds of self-testing tools and do it yourself, and you run a risk of not reading it right or doing it right, much less the time you have to put in to learn how to do all that stuff, all right? You can biohack your way to health too, but this is a difficult thing, and our bodies are all different. Our wiring is different. How we work. So it is a tragedy, in my humble opinion, that in this country, in this time and day of age, that this still happens, that doctors seem to not give a shit. When people are telling you, I know my body, something is wrong here, and you're not listening to me, I often have described it as screaming in a dark box, and no one can hear you. And the terror that people must feel each day that are experiencing something and can't get to the bottom of it, much less can find a general practitioner or a specialist that's willing to say, we're going to find out what's wrong with you. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Now, there's all kinds of angles to this, to rising healthcare costs or people that go to emergency rooms that don't pay their bills, that adds to the rising costs, lawsuits that do the same thing. It is a clusterfuck of reasons that we do it here, and how insurance companies own you. Insurance companies, for the most part, determine your level of care, not the doctors. I mean, unless you're willing to come out of pocket. And I mean, it's ridiculous. And I'm telling you, other than the student loan issues that are going on, poverty and some other issues, healthcare is a terrible, terrible mess that we all are going to pay for. And many of us have paid for already in our lives today and will in the future as our lives continue. Until we do something about it, we all tend to just maybe bitch about it, do a podcast about it like this, and not much changes, right? Not much will change here. And it's hard for me when I hear more and more stories about how, well, the doctor didn't give a shit. They didn't look into it. They took me at face value, and they were thinking on their own already what was going on. And in that research paper, I'll share the link to it here, in this long study they did, it's really the cognitive, the thinking of what the practitioner is doing, the practitioner's thinking that causes the misdiagnosis. Instead of being open to what the symptoms they're hearing, running differential diagnosis, they go ahead and already continue to think what they know it is, and then process it down that, and then go, that's it, this has got to be it, or this can't be it, right? And so this is a tragedy out there, man. And when young ladies like the one I met last night have to go through the gamut and spend their life savings, have to take second mortgages on their homes to be able to go to special cancer centers to see another doctor. If she would have listened to the first three doctors at the cancer specialists, the hospitals and organizations in Florida She would have been dead already. She would have been dead already. It wasn't until someone said, we're going to dive into this. And it was an endocrinologist that dove into it, not the cancer specialist that she spent huge money to go see. One of them charged her $13,500 to see them one time. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. And something needs to be done with this. I don't know what. I don't know how we switch it. You dump the insurance companies, maybe allow fee for service and allow the best practitioner to win. You know, instead, you can see the doctor that's in your HMO. You can see the doctor that's in your group that your health insurance pays for. You can't just pick it if you go out of your spectrum or out of your group. A lot of times, the best doctors and best ones to treat whatever it is you're dealing with are on their own. They're outside of any insurance or average insurance plans. And you have to come out of pocket to see these specialists, man. I mean, the doctors need help too. I mean, the hours they make them work, the oxymoron of which the health insurance is, eat healthy and exercise and get good sleep, right? How does a doctor or a nurse supposed to eat healthy and get good sleep with the shifts that they work? They can't even stay healthy. That's why I call it the hypocrite oath. Is they can't even take care of themselves because the hours they have to work, the hours the hospitals require and these medical facilities require, they run on a string budget to where they only hire as many as they really need to get by and sometimes less than that. So you have an overworked practitioner who is probably in debt still from school, maybe have a couple lawsuits on the other side, and we're asking this practitioner to go, let's dive in and see what's wrong with you. It's hard to care. I get it. That's why I'm arguing both sides here. But again, as the doctor, you got to give a shit. You got to listen. You can't just run the numbers games. And squirrel here, left side, okay, side note, dentists, look, I'm going to point this shit out and like this or thumbs up or comment on here if you felt this too. There's a fucking problem with dentists going on right now. I've tried to have three dentists on this podcast. Every one of them go ghost. Every one of them, if you know a dentist out there that will come on this podcast and talk to me about the issues that I have with dentistry in its current state today, please reach out to them and see who's brave enough to come sit with me, because I'm telling you, I've been through the gamut of that too. I went to one just to see, right? Testing a hypothesis. And you ever go get, I'm sure you've got your oil change before, right? You pull into one of these quick lube places and all you want's an oil change. And then what they do is they go, well, your oxygen sensor's out. You could use a new one of these. We could change this filter, that filter. You came in for a $39.99 oil change. And by the time they're writing you up a bill for $485 for shit you didn't even need, going, what the hell is happening here? But they prey on people that don't know about cars. They throw the fear at you about how your car will blow up or something if you don't do this. It's ridiculous. That's a scam. Dentists are doing the same shit. And a lot of times insurance nowadays, I don't care how good your coverage is, it's not paying for dentistry or even the ophthalmologist. It's not covering either one of those very well these days. So you got to go see the dentist. And so I get tapped around on my teeth. This lady took 16 x-rays of me and forgot to put a vest on me. And I didn't say, she goes, oh, it's a digital x-ray. It's no big deal. Are you fucking kidding me, lady? By the time she's done, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm just going to get my teeth clean. Okay, well, we got to set an appointment for you to come back and get your teeth clean. I said, lady, I just paid you $150. I told you I wanted to do that when I got here. Yeah, but we got to have the appointment set for you. You got to come back. And it's $285 for this deep cleaning, in quotes. Okay. Well, you also got this, that, and the other. We could do this for you. We got to do this for you and these things for you. By the time I was done, it was 6 appointments and almost $2,000. I went, wow. I just wanted a teeth clean in here, and now I got to change my oxygen sensor and everything else. So I went and saw another dentist just to see. Tell this dentist about what I went through. This dentist goes, there's nothing wrong. I don't see what she was even saying. And by the way, we don't even do a treatment like the one that lady told you. Are you kidding me? No. Wow. Okay, let's go see a third dentist just to see. See a third dentist, I tell this dentist nothing. I let them do their whole little eval on me, do the whole thing, see what comes back. Half of what the other dentist said was all wrong, and then agreed with some of this, and then had their own. That was three dentists I saw that all gave me three different diagnoses and treatment plans for whatever the hell, and all I wanted was the teeth cleaning at the moment. What the fuck? You're robbing people. You're literally robbing people. You're taking teeth people. That's what you're doing. You're treating people with treatments that don't apply. You're upselling people because now there's one dentist I talked to, a hygienist that used to be, that's no longer a hygienist, that said, yeah, I left the industry because that's what the meetings would be about. We would have the meetings on how we needed to upsell to meet quotas by the end of the week or the end of the month. Whether it was deep cleaning, upsell this, and they gave prizes and things out to those that upsold the most. You're upselling people's teeth, their mouth, their health. This is ridiculous. And on the flip side, on the medical side, you're upselling procedures. You're pushing drugs all on these backsides. It is a clusterfuck. And the mental health side, don't even get me started. If I could start on the mental health side about misdiagnosing, having to give you a diagnosis so health insurance will actually reimburse the practitioner, they're fucked too. Those practitioners, psychologists, et cetera, they're getting nailed from the backside. Insurance companies are cutting their pay and how much they're paying per hour, per visit. So practitioners are cutting their typical hour-long sessions down to 45-minute sessions, down to 30-minute sessions just to try to see somebody. It is ridiculous. And I don't feel I'm the only one that believes this. I think a ton of people out there are going through this. But what do? Right? We have nothing we can technically do or say to any of this. We're not the damn doctor, right? We can't go, oh yeah, I can see the X-ray for myself. That's not what it says whatsoever. It is actually ridiculous. Martin. Yeah, I had the same problem with Martin checking in. I had the same problem with IBS a couple years ago after being brushed off by numerous doctors and having a GI specialist try and recommend and see taking antidepressants. They go right to the mental health, don't they, Martin? They go, oh, you're just anxious. Why don't you take one of these? It's a benzodiazepine. You know, this will get you highly addicted. Or here's an antidepressant. No shit, Martin. I realized it wasn't in their best interest to help me, right? But with that being said, there are some gems out there. Yes, yes, to take the root cause of the problem. Agreed, Martin. There certainly are. Danny Lopez, it's so true. I was told that I had stage 4 liver disease. Come to find out, he was reading the wrong chart and didn't tell me for 2 years. What the fuck, Danny? Oh, by the way, your liver is great. No apologies or anything. You see, your doctor probably took the vacation and had the physician's assistant tell you what's up. Jesus, Danny. My mother passed away 6 years ago. I'm sorry to hear that, Danny. From misdiagnosis, from constipation treatment, it kept going back to come to find out she had kidney cancer. These are the stories that I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you all for sharing those stories. I know I'm not the only one out there that's experiencing some of this. What do we do, right? So how do we fix this thing? What are we supposed to do? I mean, are they ever going to get let go of employer health insurance? I mean, this is a compounding problem. For one, let's say, you know how many people stay in the shitty job they can't stand, that they're underpaid, which they're probably more valuable than what they're being paid, but they can't leave because it provides health insurance to themselves and their family. So they end up 40, 50, 60 hours a week in a job they don't really like that much, where they're undervalued anyway, just because they need the employer benefits because they're good. And they stay that way. And people stay in jobs. They don't take chances. They don't try to start a business or buy a business. They don't try to do any of this. They're held within the boundaries of employer benefits because you need health insurance. The huge market. There's a massive amount of people. I forget the numbers. I was into these numbers back when I was launching a company called Dollar Mental Health Club. The uninsured is a massive market. When you couple the uninsured with the underinsured, you have a 60, 70% of the market which can't afford good treatment, can't afford to take care of themselves, can't afford to see specialists, can't afford to do preventative medicine. They can't do it, much less see a psychologist or a counselor. It is appalling out there, and I'm sorry I'm delivering such negative shit right now. But that story with that young lady last night chatting with her as she was checking off her bucket list, yeah, just to picture her face, you know, young 41-year-old woman having to follow a bucket list is sad. And I mean, look, there are some amazing things in science that we do. From a mechanical perspective, wow, we do some amazing things to fix the body mechanically. We certainly do. But then there's some tragic stories. The minute they tell, well, you're going to need to scope that knee. Let us cut your spine open and start attaching things and nuts and bolts to see what happened. Happened to my father. He went in there for stuff. They chop him open, put pins in the back, screwed the pin in too far, hit some extra vertebrae, put it in crooked, fucked. Done. I mean, this is scary shit, man. And now, again, don't get me twisted. I'm sitting here bitching until I need one, right? Until I need one of those specialists or one of those surgeons or somebody to save my life, right? Or one of those medications to save your life. I get that. I get by doing this podcast, I may even set myself up for something like that. But it's tragic. It is tragic. The healthcare in this country is fucked up. The rich have healthcare. They certainly do because they can pay for it. They can go out of pocket. They can fly over to Germany and get that special thing. They can see the greatest cardiologist in the world over there in six states away. They can afford to take off work for 6 months to take care of a problem or an issue. They can do this, and that's great for them. But that same healthcare is the same science. I often say, if we were all on an island and those doctors and specialists were on the island with us and all we did was grow our own food, catch fish, and trade on this island, would that doctor deny somebody the specialty that they have? I think not. I think they'd treat them. The smaller the tribe, right? I guess it's easier when you compound this to the amount of people in this country. Sure, you can argue economics with me all you want to. But when we're spending trillions of dollars on wars overseas, keeping fathers and mothers from being home, putting them in danger for, it ain't freedom we're bringing to people. I can tell you that. A lot of the Marines that I talk to that I've treated in time, I say, look, I'm there to protect the brother and sister next to me. That's why I'm there. I don't know about this freedom shit. You know, I mean, it's over oil. It's over poppy seeds. It's over control of certain geographic locations. It's ridiculous. And they're playing with men and women's lives that are mothers, that are fathers. You see these videos all the time when the dad or the mom surprisingly shows up and you watch their kid react in tears just to see them. For me, this is a wonderful thing to see, but it's sad when I look at the back end. When I'm going, why the fuck should that kid have to feel that? Why are we over? I'm squirreling off. When we're spending so much money on wars that are unfinished. When we could be treating our citizens here in the United States, when we could be putting that money to better use, to better healthcare, to more research, to not just, you know, miracle drugs that come out or pushing pharmacology, you know, when we could help settle lawsuits, when we can do something to also help the doctors out, when hospitals maybe should be required to staff better or overstaff so these doctors aren't overworked and performing procedures on 16 hours of straight work or 3 days of straight work. This is ridiculous. It is unhealthy from both ends, from our society and our people, as well as the practitioners in the field. It is unfair and unhealthy to everyone. And all we do is go, well, how are we going to pay for it? Do you care how you pay for it when it's your child, when it's your brother, when it's your sister, when it's your loved one? No, you're willing to come out of pocket to pay for anything. You'll sell whatever it is to save their lives. You'll do whatever it is, won't you? So how come or why don't we take that same initiative, that same oomph of what the fuck, and start asking questions about this health insurance? I mean, I'm down. Whatever you do, we can go protest all you want to, but they just wait it out, laugh at us, and nothing changes, you know, from my opinion. You know, I'm going off because this pisses me off. In such a capable country with such capable people are dying still. Whether it's from opiate addiction, whether it's from misdiagnosed, underdiagnosed, or just simply not having the funds to be able to afford the right surgery. You know, I mean, Jesus, it is a terrible situation. And I wish I had the answers. I honestly did. I wish I had the answers to be able to say, you know what we do? We do A, B, and C. I've joked often about let me be president for a day, but it wouldn't matter because it's Senate and the House to make these decisions anyway. None of this would even matter. But healthcare is killing people. A lot of times it does. They overdrug you. I spoke to a lady. I was, I won't tell you where I was, but I was down, let's say I was down South Florida. And I was talking to this lady. I'll leave her name out too. She was in the area at the time and had been experiencing some internal issues, stomach something. She was really messed up. So she goes to the local hospital right there. I'll leave their name out so I don't get a freaking lawsuit put on me or something. Goes to the local hospital. They do an exam on her, and they tell her that she has a hole in her bowel or something. They got to remove like 2 feet of her intestine, and it's just terrible. She's going to be in the hospital for weeks, et cetera, et cetera. She's like, show me my white blood cell count. And they showed her white blood count. She's like, well, I'm not septic right now. I'm not, no sepsis, so I'm out of here. She leaves, drives back to her town, sees another doctor. They can't figure it out, sees another doctor. And one doctor tells her, it's appendicitis. And she goes, my appendix was removed when I was like 20. What are you talking about? How could it be? Oh, you're right. It must be this. It's probably the gallbladder. Well, it might be that. We may have to remove that. No. She's another specialist. Well, when they removed her appendix back when she was like 20-something, they left a small piece of it in there. And apparently that still can be an issue. And that's what had to come out. Had to see three surgeons before you got the right answer of what was wrong with her. And the first one was like, yep, we're going to cut some of your bowel off. And you're going to be here forever. Imagine if she doesn't go, no, I'm not going to do that. Now I'm going to go home. Imagine how often that actually happens. I watched a thing, I think it was on Vice, of what they were doing with the geriatric patients, the geriatric demographic, and what these dermatologists, in quotes, were doing in these skin removals, the little skin tags that are cancerous. And they followed a couple of these people around, and some of these some of the places, dermatologist places, surgical places where they were removing these things, they were just racking up the dough. They were just slicing these people all over. Every little mole that came up, biopsy, well, we should remove it just in case, scaring the bejesus out of them, working that Medicare right out of them, or Medicaid right out of them. And all those funds and slicing and dicing them. This one guy had like 60 certain things removed from this one place. It was ridiculous. I mean, it is a money grab. The fact that we have money in politics on the left note is shit. That's another subject. But the fact that it's profit, that healthcare is profit, is a fucking problem. I mean, I get it. You got to make money. You went to school. You busted your ass. You took student loans. I get it. I got student loans from becoming a mental health counselor. I totally get it. You got to make money. I'm open for that. But when it comes to people's teeth, their lives, their health, their body parts, you can't make this about profit. I'm going to sign you up for a surgery, make 40, 50 grand. You'll be fine without that foot and a half of bowel. You'll live, we think. Think about it. She'd have done all that, sliced it open, cut it off, and still would have had the appendicitis issue in the small part that was still in her. Could you imagine that? Hell, there are health horror stories everywhere. I mean, I like to talk about both sides, okay? Danny commented here, or Martin commented, yes, there are gems out there. If you find one of those gems, dude, put them out there. Tell people, go see this doctor. You know, write a good review. Let other people know. I mean, I swear, if you find a dentist, let me know if you find one you trust that you really believes telling you the right thing and isn't upselling you something. Let me know. Hell, I'll drive to wherever I got to drive to see one. I mean, wouldn't you? God, it's ridiculous out there. We got to do something. We got to do something about this health crisis. I mean, I'd love to say health insurance for everybody, right? Take the Bernie Sanders approach, and then somebody will hashtag me a socialist if I say that shit. You know, until it's you or a loved one of yours that can't afford that $50,000 surgery that's necessary to save your life or give you a better quality of life. And then I bet you start screaming health insurance for everybody. Right. It's funny how that fucking changes, right? When it's your ass or when you can't afford it. But I mean, I'd love to take that Bernie approach and say that, you know, but I've heard horror stories about Puerto Rico. You know how when everybody's got health insurance, now everybody's got something wrong with them. The lines become ridiculous. Back when Clinton was president, Puerto Rico adopted, Clinton talked about it first, that I first really heard about it. And I was just the age I was. So I'm sure somebody was probably talking about it before. But Puerto Rico followed suit. They implemented health care for everybody. And then the lines at the hospitals, the treatment facilities, they were massive. The waiting lists are miles long. Even they promised people, even if you paid for the premier health insurance, you'd be seen first. This wasn't true. So there's all kinds of epic horror stories on open medicine, on free health care for everybody, right? I get it. How do you solve this Rubik's Cube? I think a Rubik's Cube is probably easier. There's so much money wrapped up in this that I don't know what to do. But it's scary out there for so many people when you don't know who you can trust. When you want to trust a doctor, then if you're the person that's not advocating for your own health and if you just listen to the doctor and trust them and be on team them, you may lose part of your bowel. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you have to be an advocate for your own health. But then what do they tell you? Don't Google. Go in there and tell a doctor you Googled some shit, and they roll their eyes at you and go, oh, boy, here we go, this person. Well, if you don't, are they, you know, are they Googling anything? You know, I mean, they run a differential diagnosis. I mean, I don't know. I know there's much more than me out there that has experienced this with our healthcare system. It is a fucking wreck. And I think we need to move to affordable. I mean, maybe a step here is not only maybe, you know, socialized medicine, hashtag socialist, if you want to call me that. Some way to be able to provide that, that's affordable, that's good care. I mean, just stop the wars and we'll find a way to pay for it. Or maybe we start to really move to preventative healthcare, teach the kids in high school about preventative healthcare, right? We should do a class on healthcare. Hell, they should do a class on taxes and credit before you graduate high school, but they're not teaching them that either. You know, I mean, if you start teaching them, hey, here's some preventative measures you can take. Here's a blood testing thing you can do. Check your levels every whatever, 6 months, you know, every month if you can, whatever. Make those things affordable. There's a couple little things you can sign up for here and there that help you afford certain things. You see little things popping up, you know, to help people with prescriptions. But again, this is a money grab linked toward health. And it's shitty, man. I will go off. I've been going off. I told you once I got going, I'm going to get going on my cognitive rampage here for sure. Because, you know, people are dying. People are scared. People's loved ones are scared. They don't know what to do for them. And you don't know who to listen to. I don't know. But if you are someone out there or you know someone that is experiencing something like this, some health issues, a recent diagnosis, or taking on a disability or something like that, I want you to keep in mind how adaptable the human being is. The human being is so adaptable. It can adapt, or we can, it. We can adapt in multiple environments. With multiple disabilities, you see these inspiring stories all over, people missing limbs, terrible accidents, burn victims, these things. And with medical miracles of science, these people change their lives and they're able to continue to live. That's the other side of this coin. Don't get me twisted. There are some serious, serious medical miracles going on out there, especially mechanically with the body, as I've covered already. And even some miracle drugs out there do some amazing things. I'm not knocking that either. I mean, it's both sides, right? It's a double-edged sword, but it's the body can adjust. So if you're feeling scared, anxious, depressed, worried, I feel you. Trust me, I feel you. In time and over time, the human body can adapt. You can adapt. You can overcome. You can adjust. It's amazing if you just give it time and be positive and be hopeful. Something I struggle with from time to time. You can adapt. The body will adapt. The eyes will adapt. The ears will adapt. The body will adapt. The brain will adapt. The brain is the body. There's not much separation here. People say mind and body, but the brain is in the body, so it's the body, in my opinion. It will adapt. The only separation there is your thoughts. Side note, what you choose to think. That you have control over. And even I forget about that often. But how we control what we think, how we approach it. My mother shared an article with me a while ago where she was doing some research about this positive mindset, an optimistic outlook mindset. And they studied some prisoners of war. And I want to say it was the Vietnam War. And they followed these prisoners that were released. Some didn't make it when they got back, but they followed them for many years. And some knew each other, some didn't. And those that while in the prison, prison camp, that kept a positive mind frame about being rescued, about their family, about continuing to live, they went on in a large majority to live a very good life, a good quality of life. Those that approached the prison that they were in a negative sense, that they're never going to make it back, that the trauma that they experienced, et cetera, that kept that mind frame. Most of those people struggled and still do today with having a quality of life whatsoever. I mean, imagine somebody telling you to keep it positive when you're in a Vietnam War camp. Perhaps it's just how their brain is wired, right? My mother loves to tell me we're all wired differently. Well, I think we can change our wiring to a point. We do a lot of that with what we believe, what we think, how we do, the environments we're in, our biology as well, what we put in our biology.
But just knowing that, that a prisoner of war, 5, 10, whatever years, however long it was in these camps, kept this positive, hopeful, optimistic outlook, lived a better life long term. And if you're that person that's dealing with that today, if you've got a diagnosis or you're battling with something or you got doctors that don't give a shit and no one's looking into you, but you feel like something's wrong, do your best to be optimistic, because I'm telling you, a dose of hope goes a long way. Keeping the faith, keeping the hope that you can win, that you will fight, that you will overcome, that you will see a better side of your life soon, this can be one potent medicine. Research has shown that. Science has shown that. Not just inspiring and motivational words of people telling you to keep going. Science has proven that this can help you have a better quality of life, despite what may happen. Even if the diagnosis comes to fruition of what it might be, even if you lose vision in one eye, even if you have vertigo for the rest of your life, the body can adapt. But without that mindset, your adaptation is going to be very, very difficult. With a positive mindset, being grateful for the day that is in front of us, we can overcome. The human body is one of the most adaptive tools on this planet. And we can choose to fight that our own way. The mindset that that young lady that I talked to last night in the suite had blew me away. I tear up almost now thinking about how positive her outlook was, knowing at any day, any moment that she woke up could be her last. She said, you know, at least I know how and when my day will come. And because of that, I can appreciate today, right now, because I'm here now. And that was so inspiring to me. And I hope that can inspire you. I wonder what it would be like if we could really live that without having to have some terminal diagnosis or some massive debilitating health change or something tragic or traumatic happened to us or in our lives before we got to that mindset. It's that powerful. We are adaptive. We are adaptive by nature. Having the faith can get tough. I know it can. I've been there. I've arrogantly found myself going, how could I be dealing with this, the mental health guy? But I do too. And I fight too. And I struggle too to keep that mindset. I am far from perfect or the best at it. Perhaps I wrote that book to myself. As I've said often on this podcast, I preach and talk to myself many times in hopes that it reaches someone else out there that may need to hear it too, just like I need to. And just like I need to hear her story last night and her mindset and how she approached each day. I got a bucket list too that I've had. Started looking at it last night and today going, what am I waiting for? Am I waiting for them to give me a terminal diagnosis before I do my bucket list? What are we waiting for, right? Know that you are adaptable. Tell this message to somebody you love or somebody you know is going through it about how adaptable their bodies are. Tell them about the research of the POWs that had a positive mindset, a hopeful mindset, despite what the horizon looked like, or the today or the tomorrow looked like at that moment, what it provided for them. Encourage somebody. Love somebody that's going through it. Listen to somebody that's going through it. Don't be like the doctors that just chalk them up and say, you're a hypochondriac. You're anxious. Nothing's wrong with you. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But if they're feeling it and thinking it and physically going through it, well, perhaps there might be. Give a shit. Let them know you give a shit. Tell them that they can make it. Remind them they are adaptable, they are strong, and that they'll make it. You will make it. Despite whatever it is you're experiencing and going through, you will see tomorrow. Humans are very, very adaptable. I wanted to end this podcast with a little write-up, a little stoic reading, as shared to me from my lady, Patricia. I've gotten her into the stoic arts and stoic philosophy, if you will. It's got some rough edges when you first get into stoicism, but I'm a fan. Maybe I'll make you one today too, but it's funny, as I was already lining up these topics on this podcast to do it, and she texted me this, and Marcus Aurelius is over there. I was talking about the Wall of Wisdom here. I would name them all for you, but I said, if anybody can name all five of these and comment their names here, I'll mail you a free copy of my book, by the way, and a free ebook. You get an ebook and a paperback copy of this. I got some shirts and hats coming soon, finally, all right? Somebody's twisted my arm enough. But over there, I got Aristotle, Marcus Aurelius, a couple other great minds over on that wall there. But these five inspired me to write my book. And, well, yeah, name them and I'll send you a copy of the book if you can, all right? So Random Thoughts is a little series that Patricia has started on her Facebook page. You can check it out at Notary Plus on Facebook. But an article I read in the Stoic, in the Daily Stoic, Ryan Holiday actually is the one that runs that page. I've worked to get Ryan Holiday on the podcast. He has a great book called The Obstacle is the Way. I actually quote Ryan Holiday in my book, The Cognitive Rampage, available now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Shameless little plug there. But a little quote from one of my favorites, Marcus Aurelius: the stench of decay, rotting meat in a bag. Look at it clearly if you can. Life is that stench, he was saying. We are the rotten meat in a skin bag. From the second we're born, time starts ticking towards an expiration date. A lot of people want to turn away from that. They want to pretend it's not real. We've gotten very good over the millennia at coming up with ways to help us pretend to turn away. It's why so many people are unproductive. They think that they can afford to be, because they're in denial of their own mortality and the fact that life is rotting away as they sit there dicking around. Maybe that's what the awful smell of fermenting apples did for Schiller. We'll never really know. But it's a powerful reminder for us this morning nonetheless. Grab it while it's still here. Memento mori. There's a day that will come that will be that we will be meat in a bucket or parts in a box. The thing is, we don't know when that day is. There won't be a do-over, as far as we know. Let's live for today for what we know. I know I love me. I know you make me happy. The rest I'm keeping private to me. Like how I rhymed that one. She sent me that. And I love her for that. A friend of mine, Alvin, sent me that coin. Daily Stoic a while ago. Grab it while it's still here, y'all. We are adaptable. We can make changes. You will live on. Have hope in that. I hope you're taking care of you. I hope you're living your cognitive rampage.
Cigarette pack of young boys going howling at the moon. Head darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Letting my sense catches up with me. Three dead in a crash on the number four. Two witnesses blown up high. Not sure whose will be done. You can call me a sinner for wondering why. Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Lesson my sense catches up with me. Tastes sweeter in this town. Could it be it's the same as the last? I swear I've seen your face elsewhere before, just as familiar as a bottle and a glass. Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Lesson my sense catches up with me. Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town. Lesson my sense catches up with me. Lesson my sense catches up with me.